The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
So what happened?
Well, James is just an idiot.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay.
So you're asking about me.
What else happened?
Oh, me. No. I'm not gonna lie. I had a bad day. I had a bad moment. I had a moment. I was thinking. I was trying to figure out the dog ate the calendar. Trying to figure out the excuses, whatever I could come up with. You know, Raj asked me to do the war room, and usually you and I we don't do the war room because we've got the show right after.
We got this
right?
thing. Yeah.
So normally we're never on it. Raj did ask me a week or two ago if I could be on the war room, and I was like, no problem. Put it on the calendar, sitting there in the office, listening to Zach, and he gets the break at about 11:53, and he says, and coming up next, we got the war room with Tyler Plumbus and Nate Jackson, and, you know, we got Cecil and that other guy that I get mad at, and I was like, whoa.
Because you had a bad day, you take everyone down, you sing a sad song,
11:53. I live in Castle Rock. I got 7 minutes to get to Brother's Barbecue. 7 minutes. I heard that tease. Not going to lie. That was a, you-know-what moment. Called up Raj. I was like, hey, I blew it. I'm the worst.
Oh, didn't make up a fake excuse?
No excuses.
You didn't like the car?
No excuses.
My dog ate the homework?
No excuses. No explanations.
No.
I called him up. I said, dude, I blew it. It's my bad. I forgot. I'm in the car. I'm on the way. I made it in world record time. Everything was safe. No tickets. No accidents. Everything was cool. Made it by the end of the first segment. But I had a bad day. Not as bad as
yesterday.
Had
a bad day.
Because you had a bad day.
Wait, hold on. Oh, yeah, Richie, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude, how are you? We get a text from Richie. I hit a guy. I got a fender bender.
I don't really hit a guy.
He didn't?
Well, he hit a car.
Crazy.
What happened?
A guy? Like he didn't hit a pedestrian.
No, right. I'm sorry.
Nobody got hurt.
He had a fender bender. What happened?
I got into a fender bender. I was rushing to the gym. I was running late. I wasn't paying attention. There was a bunch of cars stopped at a stoplight over a hill.
Oh.
Came up over the hill too fast.
Oh.
Couldn't get out of the way. I almost didn't
get out of the way. Oh, it was your fault.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely my fault.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I got into a fender bender, got a little whiplash, but I came back to work before Markeith Morris did.
Ah!
Nice one. I see what you did there. Solid.
There you go. Nice job, Richie.
I did think about the dog ate my calendar. I just couldn't come up with an excuse that would make sense. I just couldn't figure it out, you know? Sometimes you just got to tell the truth.
Okay.
Play his mess up.
Sure. Right. What do we do? Tell the truth. That's right. All right. Well, yeah, you know, there's like nine of them down there. I'm sure they were okay for a few minutes without you.
I did get there in time to yell at James for a solid 20 straight minutes. So that's
right, so what was the nature of that about? I was kind of in and out.
Gosh,
I was back and forth with the Broncos.
Oh, poor Drew Lock.
Poor Drew Lock.
Poor Drew Lock. We're gonna judge him based off of like 12 throws in one game.
Can I just tell you something
that's
really funny?
Explanation. It's all over just because of that.
So I'm standing next to Troy Rank. It's so funny. That's what it was about. I'm standing next to Troy Rank today at practice, and he goes, "What is it with all the defense of?" Oh, actually, he was a little perturbed with you.
Oh, Troy.
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
Troy, you know where to find me.
I'll tell you why in a second. But he said, "What is with James Merrillat?" I just can't. What is he? Because he thinks James is treating, Drew as like a parent would treat a kid like in youth sports.
I'll tell you how James is treating Drew. James is treating Drew as if he's a starting quarterback that's a backup. In other words, people should be holding his hand and developing him and helping him to learn the role and helping him to get better as the backup QB. Dude, that might work when you're the starter as a young guy. People might hold your hand. People might be there to mentor you and teach you the ropes. When you're the backup, you're there to fit in. You're there to serve. You're there to step in at a moment's notice. And they don't have to design stuff for you. You're there to fit in to Pat Shurmur's offense and step in at a moment's notice. So there's no more development of a backup QB. Either you can do it or you can't.
Yeah, that's why it's a fair question. Is Drew really the best backup quarterback? You know, that is a question we had even in training camp. And we did talk about it. I said, well, wouldn't, as a backup quarterback, wouldn't Brett Rypien be better suited for that particular job? And you were like, no, Drew's still a better quarterback. And
yep.
All right, fine. I mean, but I think it's a fair question now.
Sure.
And, I'm watching Drew out of practice today. I don't know exactly how I want him to be acting, and I'm just, interpreting body language and everything. It feels to me he's more than fine with his role right now and he's at. He's, we're just cruising through practices in the days. And there's nothing too stressed out about anything. Life is all right.
That's what I said when Teddy came back into the game and I was seeing Drew Locke on the sideline.
He wasn't bothered by anything.
He was chomping his gum, looking like Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
He was waving guys on. I mean, he was looking happy as a clam.
Yeah, man, it's the life of the backup quarterback. It's not the worst thing in the world. No pressure. There's no pressure in practice. There's no pressure in the games. Nobody expects all that much out of you. That's why that interception was just so confounding.
Yeah.
Because as the backup, all you really got to do is just not do something stupid. That's all you got to do. If you get sacked or if it's a deflected pass or, I don't know, Tyler, a million different things. It's not even your fault.
The only thing you can't do is dumb stuff. That's it.
That's it.
Nobody expects you to win a game.
Dumb stuff.
Nobody expects you to go even have some miraculous touchdown.
And if you're losing, you go in as a backup, then the other team's better. Nobody's expecting you to lead sort of comeback.
So you lose the game.
But oh well.
The only thing you can't do is what Drew Locke has done in both appearances. Drew should have had 5 turnovers in his 2 appearances so far. That's
the
insane.
The fumble,
to
is
think
it
about.
5? Well, certainly you're talking about the fumble that Tim Patrick jumped on. You're talking about the interception.
Well, and there were a couple really bad throws in against Baltimore that could have easily been another turnover. So, I don't know, man. I mean, to me, it's over. It's done. Is Drew Locke the most talented backup quarterback on this team? Sure. Of course he's more talented than Brett Rypien.
Yeah, but who cares?
But it doesn't matter. That's not his role. We're not here to develop his talent anymore.
By the way, that's
over.
Teddy was running around. He's got like a soccer shin guard on his shin.
Oh, there you go.
So he was – that was something that he went through. They've been a little bit reluctant to go into the specific details of it, but it's – I mean, again, it was a crazy day today. I mean, it's like in the 80s. I mean, it's unreal weather-wise, like almost to a degree too hot. I mean, guys are bumping around in shorts out there, which is wild. But you could see the wrap. It's pretty significant and padded up. So that was a thing. It wasn't not a thing with Teddy, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, well, it sounds like there's no major concern as far as where that's headed. He's definitely going to be played in this game. So it sounds like another type of bone bruise, probably along those lines. That sucks. But I got to know, and I know not right now,
okay.
But I do need to know what Beef Troy Rank has with me.
Oh!
That's what I need to know.
That's such a good tease. I'll tell you what it is coming up next.
I was leading you to that.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Teamwork. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and Tina.
Oh, wow. Look at this. Antonio Brown, among 3 players suspended 3 games by the NFL for misrepresenting COVID-19 stuff.
Ah, so it was true.
Wow.
So he really did have a fake card?
I mean, I guess. I'm just seeing this alert right now.
Well, I'm sorry. How many players?
I don't know. Hold on. Damn. Oh, shoot. I don't know. I'm seriously just seeing this right now.
Okay. That report came out a few weeks ago that his chef said that he had a fake vaccination card. It seems like that would be relatively easy to figure out whether it was fake or not. Call up the vaccine site.
I guess, right?
So I guess it really was fake.
We'll track down the details in a second. You know, I get these alerts, and I click on the alert, and then it just goes away, and I'm like, where the hell is it?
You and technology. Richie, he needs to get into his phone, Richie. Richie, he needs your help. He doesn't know his password, Richie. Richie, can you figure out his password?
Hey, late guy. You just figure out how to make picks for tonight, okay?
I already got him in, buddy.
You just figure out how to
Like, I took a screenshot and everything because I'm done messing with these guys.
Oh, Kevin, thank you, Kevin. So it's three players. So hold on a second.
I love how Richie's just Antonio sitting by Brown. Your side right now. Like, what can I do?
Do you want me to tell you who they are?
No, I just want to make fun of you.
Damn. Yeah. The NFL has suspended Antonio Brown, Mike Edwards, as well as free agent John Franklin III for 3 games for COVID-19 protocol violations.
All right, so it doesn't specifically say that he had a fake vaccine card.
He had something.
Right.
3 games. Wow. Just for messing around. Just for...
Well, by the way, Mike Edwards is—he's a buck. Also, who's the third? I'm sorry,
John Franklin III.
John Franklin.
I think he signed the Declaration of Independence.
Also a buck. Wow. I wonder if they all had fake cards.
Yeah, there you go, Troy. Troy's not really mad at you. It's like he doesn't understand, and I think Troy maybe. Maybe misrepresenting why he's upset with you. He disagrees with supposedly your insistence to do a deal with Teddy Bridgewater right now. He doesn't seem the
my insistence. That's your insistence.
I know.
Holy cow! Did you explain this?
I did.
I'm the one that is like no. I'm the one that says no. We got to put this off until the end of the season.
I told him.
Holy cow!
But he was like, "Yeah, Tyler. I don't know why he's so anxious to get Teddy signed up."
That's. I mean, I've been fighting with you for days, saying there's no rush to do this.
And he was so insistent on it. Well, we're having Troy on later, so we'll have to ask him. Maybe I'm getting that wrong somehow.
Gosh, I got to be more clear with my words. I guess I don't know.
Welcome to my world, trust me.
I felt like I was yelling at you for that idea.
So then I had the conversation with Troy. I go, George Payton was out of practice today, so we were kind of just talking about Payton, and I was like, all right, well, that's his job, right? That's the big job. Who's the then? Okay, Troy, who's next then? And Troy was all about, you know, going after Russell Wilson and yes, keeping Teddy Bridgewater around too, because he was like, Troy said to me, and I agree. That right there, we're watching Teddy Bridgewater. That's the best backup quarterback in the NFL right there. And I couldn't agree more.
Fair.
You know?
Sure, that's fair.
And that's a worthy position to keep some depth in as we look at Drew Locke and we just wonder what team he's going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And Troy was saying the same thing to me that we've talked about, like, where exactly does Drew Locke go next? I mean, who would even want him as a backup, and where could he possibly compete for as a starter? And we really couldn't think of any place. I just think, you know, some team will take some sort of flyer on him. But, hey, if Drew doesn't figure things out, Tyler, his NFL career could be over quickly.
Well, he's at a very weird spot right now. You know, it wasn't long ago that I told you, Drew Locke, he's got a guaranteed 10 or 12 years in the NFL. Because once you put enough good film out there, the NFL's they're terrified of change. So if you just put out 4 or 5 good, really, really good games on film – that'll last a long time as a backup in the NFL. Now, I wasn't talking about as a starter. I was talking about as a career backup. However, things can change, right? And so previously, he only had film as a starter. I thought that was going to be enough to carry him through for a long time because mm-hmm. I assumed when he came in as a backup, he was going to put reasonable film out there. However, the film he's put out there as a backup has been abysmal. It's been really, really bad. And now he's at a spot where he needs another break just as a backup QB to go in there to prove that I'm a capable backup option for any team in the NFL. I'll get the job done. I won't be a liability. Or else he could be on a fast track to not even playing in the NFL.
Yeah, totally agree. And, you know, I don't even know why it's all that worthy about talking about that much at this point, to be honest with you. I am a little surprised that it was even a point of contention during the war room, like it's even that big of a deal to even talk about. I mean, what is there to talk about?
Well, you know, James.
Yeah, what does he want?
Well, you know, Drew is his whoopee. I mean,
why?
I don't know. James is an interesting dude. He's obviously extremely smart, very articulate. He knows he's got all his arguments are very well thought out. I cannot figure out where he's coming from on this one. He goes contrarian on just about everything. So he's going contrarian on this one as well, I guess. Everybody thinks that Drew Lock's done, so he's going to go contrarian on that. How you are at a point where you're still defending him, I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's over. It's done. It's over. It's gone.
Yeah, we both like Drew, believe it or not.
Right.
But, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you supposed to do at this point? Can't trust him. And I'm sorry. He's got to grow up somewhere. He's got to mature somehow. And that's the nature of the NFL. It's not a developmental league. You have your chances to develop in college and then through practice and training camps, and that's it. And then you go. That's just the world of the NFL.
Yeah.
What can I tell you?
Well, the irony of that, there is development in the NFL, but there's only development for starters. There's only development for guys that maybe like Patrick Surtain, who are high draft picks, but were still on the bench just because they had a surplus in that position. But you don't develop backups. They don't have time to do it. There's not the reps. There's not the energy. There's not the time in practice. As a backup, it's a tough role. You got to learn through osmosis. You got to practice a lot on your own, and you got to be ready to rock and roll when your number's called because nobody's there trying to hold your hand. They're trying to develop the starter.
The question is, you know, as I'm watching George Payton at practice today, and he's, you know, watching the quarterbacks, it's like, hey, man, that is what you're going to be evaluated on. That's it right there as the GM. All the other stuff is cool. But that right there is the big one. And that's where John Elway and Matt Russell fell woefully short after Peyton Manning left. I mean, they just couldn't get it together. They couldn't figure it out. And now John's going to be gone in January, and the degree – Vic's not going to help you out in this department. You think Vic is going to ever have a quarterback that he likes, really, aside from somebody he just thinks he can trust?
Well, I bet he loves one right now. He loves Teddy Bridgewater.
I bet he would love Russell Wilson, too.
Oh, I'm sure. Of course he would. Yeah.
So no. – So fine. Like I was talking to a couple people at Dove Valley. It's like, if you want to use your first round picks to go get Russell Wilson, that's cool by me.
Sure.
Because that's what I think the value of first round picks are for anyway. So go for it. But when I'm watching ESPN today, Tyler, I'm watching ESPN. Who do you think ESPN in New York City was talking about as a landing spot for Russell Wilson? Take a wild guess who they were talking about.
Of course the Giants.
Of course the Giants. And now that's the national conversation. And do you think that's a coincidence? Hell no. It was weird. It was a weird segment because Louis Riddick is rumored to be, you know, a GM candidate, maybe, for the New York Giants. Because Gettleman can't survive this, right? There's no way. They got to blow out Gettleman. And Louis Riddick is...
You'd think they're going to blow out the whole building, honestly.
I would... Why wouldn't they?
I don't know.
I mean, seriously, what are they hanging on to?
Certainly seems like they should. By the way, a little side note, we were talking about Paxton Lynch. Heard Zach Bye talking about this earlier.
So how's he doing?
Credit goes to him. Not well. Not well. You know, he's out there in Canada playing for the Rough Riders. He was their third-team quarterback. He's been demoted.
There's somewhere else to go besides third-team quarterback?
Yeah, fourth. Apparently they carry four.
Really? We're doing this? This is happening with us? Wait a second. How do you have a 14 quarterback in the CFL? What middle school league are they playing in?
It's a great question. He's not going to dress, in case you were worried, in case you thought they might dress four quarterbacks. They're not going to dress the fourth QB.
Jeez.
Zach said, no, I don't know who it was. Richie, you might know. Zach said that he got replaced by a kid from School of Mines. Do you know who the kid's name was, Richie?
I bet he was smart.
I bet you he was.
I bet you he's smarter than Paxton Lynch.
Going out on a limb.
Good for Paxton for trying.
Sure.
I mean, you know, with all the ripping on Paxton Lynch, shouldn't the deeper criticism go towards the evaluation and choosing him in the first place if he really is this bad? I mean, really, is that even Paxton Lynch's fault? Couldn't you get paid millions of dollars. You couldn't see it? You didn't know it? You just ignored what all the other teams were telling you?
I would say that's a fair statement about Drew Lock. That's a fair statement about a guy like Drew who's done the right things, who's put in the effort. There's never been any concerns about his work ethic or his habits or his love of the game. I would not say that's a fair statement about Paxton Lynch, because there were concerns about what he was doing off the field. There were concerns about the hours he had spent on Xbox, and he allegedly was not all in on the game. So, you know, if you don't invest everything you've got, you're a first rounder, you don't give everything you've got to this game, then it's fair to say it's on you as much as it is on the evaluators.
All right. Well, thanks for the update. It's always fun to.
Well, thanks, Zach.
Thank you, Zach. I don't take quite the joy in piling on Paxton Lynch like other people around here do, because I just think it's more on the people that picked him here in the first place. I mean, what were you thinking? And you took him in the 20s, and nobody else wanted him. I mean, really, seriously. I mean, what were you thinking? And everybody that made that decision is gone now anyways from the future of choosing the next quarterback. So, I mean, here we go. Hey, there is some interesting news out there, some legal news about the sale of the Broncos. Pretty interesting stuff, plus we keep revisiting this painful losing streak as a source of inspiration. Details next.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
All right, man. I don't know who Eben Novi Williams is, Tyler, but on Twitter, he's a sports business reporter for Sportico.
Okay.
And I don't even know if this matters
sure,
or is
smart.
Even, sure. Breaking news. The Broncos have interviewed, this is earlier today on Twitter, the Broncos have interviewed at least four different bankers about handling a potential sale of the franchise. Hits the market after the season. And then there's a big story about it. So interviewing bankers. Now, I don't know. See, here's I guess, is my question, and I just don't know. Is this just a standard type of thing a lot of teams perhaps do to look at the value of their team? Or is this a significant step towards what they have to do to sell the team?
Oh, man. I mean, I suppose I don't know for a fact what the answer to that is, but it seems very obvious to me. No, that doesn't feel like that standard procedure. Once you get operating as a business, you've got your bank. You've got the people that you work with. And unless you're not happy with them and you want to interview potential replacements, but that would seem like awfully coincidental timing right now for the Denver Broncos to be interviewing bankers. No, this is the obvious. We don't have to look beneath the surface on this one. This is very, very clear what this one is. Denver Broncos are selling this football team, and they're getting ready. They're trying to figure out what the process is going to be, and they're lining it all up so that they can have as smooth of a process as they possibly can. Yeah. What I do wonder is if this possibly indicates that we're actually further along than what people would even know. I wonder if this indicates that there's somebody that has pursued interest and now there's already even numbers being tossed out.
Yeah, I think it's going to sneak up on people. I think this whole thing is going to sneak up on people. Hey, we're at December 2nd. You realize John Elway's contract with the Broncos is a month away from being done?
Wild.
Right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Joe Ellis at the same time?
What's that?
Is Joe Ellis the exact same
No,
time?
He is not. Joe Ellis is
He said he would see it through to the sale, right?
Joe Ellis's contract's tied into the league year. John's contract is tied into the calendar year.
All right, so Joe goes to March if that's if he's league year.
Yep. But John's January.
Okay.
That's it.
That's amazing.
It's coming quick.
I mean, we're right here. That's around the corner.
So there probably are a lot of things going on behind the scenes. And the thought of Brittany taking over is, come on. I mean, give me a break.
Nah, this team's getting sold. It's getting sold. It's getting sold. This is definitely something. You know, where they are in the process, I don't know. It does make me wonder if they're further along than anybody knew, though.
I saw in some other tweets the valuation of the Broncos right now is $3.8 billion. Who knows if it'll go beyond that?
I told you $4 billion, and you looked at me like I was crazy.
Oh, no. I mean, I knew $3.8, $3.7 billion is what the number is. I have no idea. I'm not discounting you at all. It absolutely could sell for more than $4 billion. In fact, their speculation is when the Broncos do get sold, it will be the highest price ever paid for any professional sports organization.
Yeah, of course it will, because it's the next one up.
Right.
It's that's not that complicated. I mean, yeah, the Denver Broncos are obviously very valuable. Nobody would pay that number unless they were worth that number. But it's like free agency. You know, the next available wide receiver will be the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the NFL. That doesn't mean that they're the best wide receiver. So that doesn't mean that the Broncos are the most valuable organization in all of sports, but we're the only available organization.
All right, we are going through painfully, but, you know, knowingly.
I love ripping scabs off, though, D-Mac. No. This is a rip the scab off. That's what it is.
It's an important part of the process.
Right.
Part of the healing process is to remember loss number 5 out of 11 in a row, and this was it.
New Year's Eve, the final day of 2017. A meaningless game for the playoff-bound Chiefs and the Cancun-bound Broncos meant both teams would start young first-round quarterbacks. For Vance Joseph's Broncos, Paxton Lynch got the nod, while Andy Reid handed the keys of his offense to a rookie making his first start. A fresh-faced kid out of Texas Tech named Patrick Mahomes. Playing against backups, Lynch would toss 2 touchdowns in the best start of his Broncos career.
Lynch to the back of the end zone, touchdown, Demaryius Thomas!
But it wasn't enough to out-duel Mahomes, who flashed signs of the dominance he'd soon unleash on the rest of the league.
Mahomes trying to get him closer, heading the wrong way, and still has the arm strength to hit DeMarcus Robinson.
Following the loss, Joseph's future as head coach wouldn't be decided that night, as John Elway chose to sleep on the decision and ultimately decided to retain his coach. For Broncos country, the end of 2017 brought little optimism their losing streak to the Chiefs would be ending anytime soon. Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead, this Sunday.
You know, I don't remember it off the top of my head, but I do remember some details. So maybe you guys know, because you're probably obviously smarter than me. But Mahomes and the Chiefs had such a lead that they actually put in another quarterback.
They did.
And then the Broncos.
Chad Henne? I don't think
that's my question. Who was it?
I forget, but I do remember that.
Who was it?
You know, you know what made that so frustrating? Not only were you seeing the future of the Chiefs, but it was a throwaway game. That's what it was. That's why he was playing in that game.
Yeah.
Tyler Bray.
Tyler Bray.
Yeah.
Tyler Bray.
So it was a throwaway game that they wanted to see. They wanted to give Patrick Mahomes some experience. And then it went so well that he didn't need any more experience. They brought somebody else in.
Yeah, how about that? And then they just, you know, they wanted to win the game enough.
They went back to Patrick, right?
They did.
Yeah.
They put him back in the game.
Yeah.
And you know, they won. Yeah, I remember that one. That was actually, Lynch didn't play that bad in that game. He played all right.
Gosh, I don't recall his performance at all.
He played good enough to, you know, warrant Patrick Mahomes going back into the game. I mean, he was enough of a threat to Andy Reid for that to happen.
Okay.
But, you know,
well,
what are we talking about? We're talking about virtual preseason.
We still have
game.
Him, D-Mac.
Right. If you get him, you got to play him. You got to give him a shot, theoretically. Or why else did you get him?
You don't.
Just don't get him, and then you don't worry about it.
Sure. Once you make a mistake, don't make it worse, though.
Okay, fine. Then move on and rinse and repeat. Don't be afraid of ever taking a first-round quarterback again just because that didn't work out. But, you know, hey, alert the media the next time the Broncos take a quarterback in the top 15, because it'll be the first time they take a quarterback ever in the top 15. It just hasn't happened. So we have no idea how it would work out for the Broncos in a scenario that has never happened before. Elway was acquired in a trade. They didn't draft him. He was acquired in a trade. Manning was acquired in free agency.
Yep.
He was, you know, so we got guys that were drafted high, but we didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm keeping it real, I know you'll obviously fight this. I know you'll obviously disagree with it, but I'll be totally honest. You know, when Josh Allen was coming out, if I'm John Elway, 100%, he reminds me too much of Paxton Lynch. He just does. And I know what you're saying. You can't be afraid of the past. You can't let that affect the future. And you're right. I mean, sure, you're right. You shouldn't let the past affect the future, and you shouldn't let your previous evaluations change your current evaluations. But dang, were there a lot of similarities. The height, the size, the arm strength, the inaccuracies, the lower school, all of it. It just felt so dang similar. I was sitting there on air. I was talking about it, and I said, look, I'm wrong. Obviously, I'm wrong, but at the time, I was like, I can't do it. He looks exactly like Paxton, and I bet you that's what was going through John Elway's head as well.
It could have been, and probably why it was going through his mind, because John's never really had a solid quarterback philosophy that he could stick to. John's been throwing darts his entire career as a GM, and some of them hit and some of them don't. But, I mean, yeah, okay, sure, you're scared to do something because it doesn't work out because you don't really believe in anything in the first place. I mean, Michael Jordan famously was asked, hey, if you miss 8 shots in a row, what do you do now? And he goes, take shot number 9. And
yeah, if you're good.
Well, okay. I mean, if you believe in yourself, if you believe in what you're doing, sure. Just because you screw up, if you believe in what you're doing, you don't change what you're doing.
Sure.
But whatever.
But I'm just keeping it real that I wouldn't have believed enough in Josh Allen at the time. I would have looked at it, and I would have had my doubts just like John Elway did.
All right, then what about George Payton this year then?
George Payton didn't like anybody. But he's not living with the sins of the past.
There was some conversation out at Dove Valley today about Bradley Chubb that I think we'd find interesting. Because we've talked about, hey, isn't this the time for him to have a game? I don't know if you guys talked about, did you guys talk about Chubb on the War Room?
We did.
Today a little bit?
Yeah, we did.
All right, so why don't we get to that and hear some of the comments from Dove Valley about Chubb coming up next.
Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and Dina.
It's almost worthy of reading out loud that text thread from last night.
I didn't know what the Jokic sisters were.
Oh, poor Richie. Poor Richie, man. Why is it so hard for you to understand him?
I thought there were really Jokic sisters.
That was
like
pretty
funny. There could have actually. I was. That's really funny.
So anybody that didn't see it, there were some girls in the stands yesterday that had Jokic sisters T-shirts on, which was hilarious, you know. And Richie texted it to us, and D-Mac just cannot grasp what this was. Like, are these really the sisters?
I thought. Jokic sisters?
What are these T-shirts? Like, what does it mean that the T-shirts say that they're Jokic's sisters? Are how many are in the family? What's going on?
That's where I was at. I said, are there really Jokic sisters? Instead, it's just a really, really, you know.
I mean, do the Jokic brothers wear Jokic brothers shirts?
They don't, but.
They should. They should start a clothing line.
They started the Twitter thing saying Jokic brothers. By the way, I was told by a bar owner that they have paid for stuff with Jokic Brothers LLC. So there's some sort of, I don't know.
Nice.
There's a business.
They absolutely should start a clothing line and it would sell out.
They should. I'd buy Jokic Brothers gear. And
me too.
Would be very shiny and colorful and probably too big on me, but you know.
There was Defwu from Derek Wolfe.
There was.
And then there's the Jokic Brothers.
Jokic Brothers. Don't tell me that wouldn't sell. Oh, by the way, what a crap game, though, huh? My goodness.
Wow, it was looking so good, too.
I know.
Did I go Jinxie Cat?
I just stopped really. Well, we were watching it here in the studio at halftime. I'm like, oh, they got this. And then I go home.
I gave him a game ball when the show
ball.
Ended.
They were up by 20-something point. I mean, it was done.
Yeah.
And then I just casually tune into, you know, after. I'm like, what the hell?
I don't know.
They couldn't make a shot near the end. They gave up a big lead. They lost to a team that had 4 wins previous. Gary Harris is a superstar hero for Michigan State now with Orlando, not a loser.
That's what you get. I mean, all that trash talk you were giving Gary Harris yesterday.
And then I'm like, damn. Then I look out my window for smoke signals to get news on the Avalanche, and they lose 8-3 to the Leafs.
You didn't have to do that. You could just listen to Sandy and Sean and Nick and Cecil and
Dan Jacobs.
And Dan Jacobs.
So Bradley Chubb, man, Bradley Chubb. What was the temperature of the conversation on the War Room about Bradley Chubb? And I'll get to the Dove Valley stuff about him today.
Well, the conversation started out basically the same way we were talking about it yesterday. Do the Broncos need Bradley Chubb to step up to the plate in order to win this game? And no, it's not like, hey, there's a lot of ways to win a football game.
And my expectations for Bradley Chubb are not exactly through the roof right now. If he got a sack, we would all be celebrating that. And, you know, that's the sad reality of where we're at right now. And I'll give him a little bit of leeway that he's coming off injury, but he has not done much at all. So, I mean, the general conversation was just what a disappointment he's been. That was the gist of it.
Yeah, at Donatel today, he didn't go as far as to say Bradley, you know, Chubb needs to have a breakout game. He didn't say anything like that, but he did emphasize how important Bradley Chubb is to the team and how important he is. You got that, Kevin? All right, go ahead, play it.
It's definitely helpful. Ask other guys inside. But, you know, again, his biggest thing is he wants to make another step this week and do some things to help us win a game.
Yeah, he went on more. There was more to it. But anyways,
Well, you see what the Broncos were able to do last week against Justin Herbert. And the main reason why they had so much success defensively is that they had a pass rush. And they were doing it without bringing extra guys. They weren't blitzing. They weren't bringing a fifth or a sixth guy. They were doing it with four pass rushers. And they were getting home or getting close with everybody except for Bradley Chubb. Stephen Weatherly was getting close. Ajean was getting close. They got sacks. They didn't just get close. They got sacks. Bradley Chubb, he was out there. He wasn't making much of a difference at all. I do know this. When you're playing Patrick Mahomes, you don't want to have to blitz. If you blitz, you're going to be in a world of hurt. So they need to have the type of success with their pass rush this week against the Chiefs like they did last week. But it takes big moments from big-time players like Bradley Chubb. Yeah. I mean, you're going up against Patrick Mahomes. He's Patrick Mahomes. And if you really want to have like a game-breaking play, you would think it's probably kind of going to come from Bradley Chubb, not Stephen Weatherly.
Yeah, here's some more from Donatel.
You know, again, he brings that toughness to the edge. And, you know, I think he just raises our level. Everybody feels better when he's in there, you know. So it's a confidence level, you know, that we know we're a stronger team when he's in there.
Yeah, so it shows they really like him, which everybody does. They really like him.
Sure.
They're supportive of him. They're saying all the right things. He, you know, raises everybody up. They're just a pinch short of saying, now we need some more from him. You know, okay, you're going to get double teamed. Okay, your opponent's going to make it hard on you. I mean, okay, Tyler, but hey, you're that guy. You've got to overcome that somehow.
Yeah.
So they're not ripping on him. They're saying how important he is. I think they're trying to, it actually feels to me like they're trying to build him up, like boost his confidence a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. You know, he has definitely been disappointing. He's had flashes where he's looked brilliant. He's had a lot of periods where he's looked like he just existed, and he's had a lot of periods where he wasn't even out there at all. We got to get him back to playing elite football. He was a number five overall pick, and I know I get accused of being a Bradley Chubb apologist, because I don't want to attach the word bust to him. That's a very, very strong word that I don't like to give to guys that got injured. But I can't argue the fact that it's been disappointing. Mm-hmm. I can't argue the fact that he's not even playing like a number five overall pick. He's playing like a good football player when he's out there, but not a number five.
By the way, the correction police out there. Yes, Jay Cutler taking a number 11. So there you go.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Hey, and real quick, just while we're on the topic of, there you go. I was talking about pass rush. Shelby Harris. That's who they're worried about.
Really?
Because Shelby has killed Patrick Mahomes in the past with all his tipped balls, and Patrick's gotten in a lot of trouble this year with interceptions off deflections.
Huh.
So they've been working all week long on avoiding the tipped balls and having guys' hands in the air.
Okay.
Andy Reid talked specifically about Shelby Harris and how he's the best in the NFL at blocking passes. And that's what they're working on this week, trying to avoid the tipped balls.
Well, Mahomes does. I mean, he's been praised for it a lot, but he has a habit of throwing from different arm slots.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, well, all right. Okay, I saw
I wish he was Bradley Chubb was my point. that was my point. Like, I wish that they were stressed about a true pass rusher.
That's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
That's why I'm laughing. You're worried about Shelby Harris?
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd be nice to be in a world where that is your number one worry, I suppose. Yeah, that is funny. They're not worried about Bradley Chubb. They're not talking about the pass rush.
They're worried about somebody putting their hands in there.
Somebody who can't rush the passer but has a knack for batting balls down.
He's really good at it. I'm not taking anything away from it.
Ain't no doubt about it.
It's not historically what you game plan around.
Shelby is, by the way, back and practicing and healthy and all that sort of stuff because he was dinged up a little bit too. But seeing him over the past couple of days, he looks fine. All right, that's interesting. You know, I just haven't gone back and looked at it, but, I mean, how many of Mahomes' interceptions, and he's got a bunch of them, have been deflected passes
This year, a few.
Okay. But they haven't been making those mistakes for the past month. I know. Okay. You want to talk about some O-line?
Sure.
I know you love the O-line stuff. I saw Quinn Meinerz today, the belly. It is a struggle for him to keep that belly covered up, man. Like, that belly wants to be free, and he's killing himself to keep it covered up.
You can see the stress whenever the belly gets
exposed.
It's
unbelievable.
He's, like, thinking about his pocketbook. He's like, oh, man, that's $100. I got to get this thing covered up.
It's, like, 80 degrees today, and this is a day the belly should be just, you know, bursting out. And he's got he cannot keep his regular football shirt over his belly. He cannot do it. He has to wear another shirt underneath his football shirt. And you can tell the belly doesn't want that.
No, the belly doesn't want that.
The belly wants to be free.
Everybody wants to breathe. Everybody likes air.
At what point can he free the belly?
Year three.
We'll get to the big story of the day next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.